Welcome to the Change Your World Relationships, Business, and Family Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the amazing, the incredible Miss Alicia White. Alicia, why don't you take it from here?
Thank you. Hey. The yellow flowers were in full bloom, and the sky was a bright blue. The air was crisp and calm, and I was standing at the edge of the forest, feeling the sun on my face, when suddenly a huge grizzly bear came crashing out of the trees only 40 feet away, and I was scared. This is a wildlife encounter I will never forget. Rick and I, my husband Rick, we travel to Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Park every year to photograph the amazing wildlife and stunning landscape. And on this particular trip, we had heard about a female and male grizzly bear courting in a certain area of Grand Tetons. We spent 3 days looking for this couple, and we had heard everybody talking about these bears, but we never saw them. In fact, we had sat in one spot for 4 hours, only to leave and heard that 15 minutes later, this pair appeared. Grizzlies are not predictable. Well, on the last day in the park, we saw another photographer friend, and he was telling us about this incredible encounter that had just happened the day before. Actually, it was when we had left, just a few minutes before, of course. He showed us where Bruno, a large male 500-pound grizzly bear, had rubbed his back on a fence post. You could still see the hair sitting there. And we walked over to the edge of the forest where Bruno had marked his territory in the dirt by digging with his big claws. There were the clumps. We were so engrossed in conversation that it took a woman in her car driving towards us, screaming at the top of her lungs, "Bear! Bear!" We looked in the distance, but we didn't see anything. Again, the woman yelled, "Bear!" and gestured to where the bear was. Much to our surprise, Bruno was lumbering his way out of the forest towards us, only 40 feet away. Now, they tell you, don't run away from a bear, but I'm going to tell you something. You can walk really, really fast, okay? We walked to the safety of our vehicles in time for Bruno to put on another show right in front of us, just on the other side of our vehicles and a fence. And he rubbed his back on a tree, and he clawed at the earth with his big, long, grizzly nails. And then we had another blind side. The female grizzly, now her name was Blondie, she came crashing out of the woods down the hill towards Bruno. She was only 50 feet away. Again, this was way too close for comfort. We were surrounded by bears, yet we were blindsided not once but twice. Bruno blindsided us by being only 40 feet away, crashing out of the woods. Blondie, 60 feet away. Fortunately for us, the couple didn't want to have anything to do with us. They were in love, and they only had eyes for each other. And we safely enjoyed an experience of a lifetime photographing these two lovebirds as they interacted with one another. In fact, I'm looking at a large print that I took of Blondie there in the meadows with the yellow flowers and the green bushes. She's just beautiful. And after the day ended and I was settling in for bed, I kept thinking about how we got completely blindsided by these bears. And I thought how often Rick and I sometimes catch each other off guard when we're having a spat. Now, you know, no couple is immune to squabbles and fights and spats, and I bet you have been blindsided a number of times by your partner, and you have probably blindsided your partner as well. And using the experience that I've had this day, I came up with some ways, some methods, to reduce the number of blindsides in your relationships. And I want to share four of those with you today. Just like the grizzlies that blindsided us, we were not aware of how close he was. However, we do know that nature is unpredictable and a grizzly bear goes wherever a grizzly wants to go, right? And we knew we were in his territory. People had seen Bruno and Blondie for several days in and around that location. We should have anticipated a sighting and stayed near our vehicles, And we should have been aware of our surroundings even while we were talking. You know, I should have had binoculars and scoped the area. I at least did have bear spray on my hip, and so did my husband and our friend. That's just one of the things you carry in the parks. So the first method that I thought about in order to reduce the number of blindsides is being aware in your relationship. If the same issue keeps popping up or you experience the same feelings each time you argue, for example, you may feel that you're being misunderstood when you spoke, or you may be hearing that you're not cared for, then it's time to analyze the situation together. Sit down together, schedule a time, sit down together and talk about keywords and phrases that escalate the conversation. Identify the signs that can take talking to an argument. When you're aware of these clues and you're able to respond in a different manner, that can help you avoid the blindsides. Just being aware of how your partner reacts to what you may say, to certain words you say, can avoid an eruption of emotions. And that's an example of a blindside. I'll never forget when Rick and I first married. We both worked out of the home, and I worked at the hospital, and I would come home, and I would feed the cat, and I would start making dinner, and I would play housewife, you know, and I'd relax also. You know, maybe watch a little bit of Oprah. Again, I said this was years ago. And Rick, he would come home after a long day at work and about an hour commute through rush hour traffic. And as soon as he walked through the door, I couldn't wait to tell him about what happened that day. How I had done this with a patient or how a doctor said this to me. I would ask him about the bills that came in the mail. I would tell him what the cat did. I mean, I just threw a lot of words at him as soon as he walked in. And I always felt that he was distant. He didn't really add anything to the conversation. And that hurt my feelings. I took that to mean he didn't care about what I had to say. This went on for a couple of years. Until finally, one day, my husband, Rick, had a tremendously stressful day. And he came home, and I had the same behavior, greeting him, happy to see him, when all of a sudden he barked at me, and he said, "Stop! Just be quiet!" I learned at that moment, because he told me, you've had all afternoon to relax and unwind from your day. I haven't had a minute to myself. I've been in rush hour traffic. We've had a change in management. I need some time to unwind. I thought, wow. Oh, I didn't realize I had been creating tension. I didn't realize he needed that moment to relax. And now that I was aware of my behavior, I could change that. And this was one blindside we could avoid. We can actually end this blindside altogether. So we've discovered, became aware, that Rick needed a few minutes after he walked through the door, he just needed to sit down, watch the evening news, or read his magazine. He just needed some time alone to decompress. And this made a huge difference in our evenings. No more hurt feelings and no more creation of tension. But there is something funny about this. The roles reversed. He began working out of the home, and I was the one who was greeted by a people-deprived man who couldn't wait to talk to me the minute I got home. And I remember being frustrated and like, you can't tell me all this stuff when I just walk in the door. And we had the same conversation about being aware, and that blind side was removed. As you know, communication is key in a healthy relationship. And oftentimes we do read more into what a person is saying than what was actually said. And I came up with method number two, where you be cognizant of how you respond. Put yourself in their shoes. If you need to have a certain message conveyed, think about how having a message conveyed to you. Think about how your partner best receives information, and then adapt your response accordingly. Put yourself in their shoes. How would you want to receive that information? How does your spouse or your partner receive that information? Approach the person as you would want to be approached. Respond in the way that your partner receives information. And think about the three types of communication: the visual, verbal, and nonverbal. If you know that your partner is a visual learner, you could, if you're talking about finances, you could give them a spreadsheet of the finances while you talk. I know sometimes I look at Rick like a deer in headlights because he's talking about this account, that account, and numbers, and I'm like, I don't get it. Or a checklist for chore duties. Maybe you have a to-do list, and you've told your husband over and over again this to-do list and nothing gets done. Hand them a checklist. That's a good one, especially for the visual people. With verbal communication, your tone of voice dictates everything. You can't growl, I love you. You can't growl, I love you, and expect a positive response. Or even you go, I love you, you know, in a sarcastic way. Yeah, you're not going to get a positive response on that. So it's best to be respectfully honest with your words. Don't be hurtful. Be respectful and share your words honestly. And then there's nonverbal communication. And now this is a big one. It makes up 55% of communication, with only 7% being words spoken. Wow. People aren't actually listening to the words. They're watching your body. Your body and your facial expression gives clues as to how you feel internally, and you don't even realize it at times. And then there are times where you have experienced something and you're thinking and mulling over something, and then your spouse or your partner comes up to you and your body is still in that posture, and then you maintain that posture while your partner's talking to you, and they think you're upset or distracted because of your body posture, when actually it was the experience beforehand. Shake that off. Shake it off. As soon as you become aware that this is happening, shake it off. And on the flip side, if you see your partner's nonverbal cues shift while you're talking, that's the time to check in. While learning how to communicate with your partner, timing is just as important. Learning how they respond and how they receive information, checking visual cues, it's just as important to know when to talk to somebody. There's a couple I know. They're much older than us, and they've been married for about 45 years, and Ted took care of all of the finances. Even after they retired, Ted maintained a part-time job and continued taking care of the finances for the family, even after all the kids were grown. and his wife, Mary. She got the mail one day. Usually that was his job, but she got the mail one day, and she saw two pieces of mail that had marked cancellation notice. And she was livid, and rightfully so. It appears that Ted had not paid two bills. They were about to have their gas and phone services shut off. Why didn't Ted pay these bills? Come to find out, he had become so overwhelmed in keeping up with the finances while he was working that he just let the bills and papers stack up. And that actually led to a big issue that they argued about all the time, because there were piles of papers everywhere in the house. They showed up not just in his office, but on the dining room table, on the bedroom dresser. And Mary was angry when she saw these letters that Ted hadn't done his part. And when he came in from work, she let him have it just like a grizzly bear. She roared at him because she felt that his lack of attention meant that to the bills meant that he didn't care about the gas being shut off, so then he didn't care about her. And that was further from the truth. That was not it at all. Ted loved Mary so much. In fact, one of the reasons why he never mentioned to Mary about the finances is because he was protecting her. He didn't want her to have to worry about the bills and the budget. But this actually led up to a barrier between them, one of a lack of trust, a lack of partnership, a lack of involvement. And he had just felt so overwhelmed with the amount of time it took to go through the piles of paper because he just let it go, you know, grow and grow and grow. And this led to an out of sight, out of mind behavior. They had opened their hearts to me. So I suggested they schedule 1 hour on a night, one night per week, to go over the finances together. And then start with the first pile they see, since that was a big one, you know, get that off the dining room table and the bedroom dresser. Start with the first pile they see, and for 1 hour, separate the items into trash, personal, and bills. That's it. And then talk with each other about the bills. Get that spreadsheet out. Look on the computer together. They called me a few weeks later. They were ecstatic. And they had actually increased the number of times that they met each week and went through every single pile. And I witnessed that on a visit once, and I could see the top of their dining room table and the buffet. All the papers were nicely stacked in his office, and there were no more cancellation notices. Because they went through all of the papers, now they only need to meet once a week to go over the bills. Mary's in the loop on the finances and doesn't have those hurt feelings anymore. And Ted doesn't experience overwhelm every time he gets the mail. So it's method number three. It's being strategic in the timing of your conversations. Remember, Ted blindsided Mary by not paying bills, and Mary blindsided Ted with an outburst, kind of like a grizzly bear. So my advice, being strategic in the timing of your conversation, includes make a point to schedule conversations before they even become an issue. If you are feeling overwhelmed, address it now instead of assuming your partner knows how you're feeling. If we could read minds, we would be in Vegas and be billionaires. I know I would be in Vegas if I could read minds. Don't assume your partner knows how you're feeling. And don't wait until it's time for bed to discuss hot button issues, or when a person comes home from a stressful day, or at the dinner table. Those aren't the times to bring up those topics. Schedule a time. Finally, we can use method number four, and that's one I came up with, the relationship reset button. If you notice that your conversation is escalating, pause and push the relationship reset button by asking your partner to go back to the beginning of the conversation and restate the issue at hand. Now, this is really hard to do because we're in the heat of the moment. We want to say what's on our mind, but we're at the point of not listening sometimes. So when you apply this and ask your partner to, you know, wait, let's go back to the beginning here, you can get clarity on what the real issue is. You discover what your partner is thinking instead of assuming. You become aware of each other's emotions. So how can you implement the relationship reset button? One way is to change the location of your conversation. If you're standing, sit down. If you're in an intimate part of your home, like the bedroom, move to a more neutral ground. Of course, ensuring no one can overhear the conversation, especially if it's sensitive in nature. And then the other way is to be aware of your surroundings. Are other people listening in? If you begin arguing at the dinner table in front of your kids, either pause the conversation or move to another room where you can't be overheard. And another way is to softly touch your partner. This shows concern for him or her. It is also a signal that this is a safe place. Finally, discover a mutual relationship reset button for you both. For Rick and me, it's our trips to Yellowstone. We take one every year. And in Yellowstone, when we're surrounded by the crisp air, the mountains, the amazing wildlife, I truly cherish the time I get to spend with Rick alone. No computer, no email. We laugh more, we experience amazing sightings together, and we feel complete. We feel like a unit. Yellowstone has become the reset button for our relationship. So I'm asking you to think about a time or place when you felt complete and happy and relaxed with your partner. Find the reset button for your relationship. You can find me on Facebook, Pinterest, LinkedIn, any other social network that's out there by using my handle, Alicia White 911, AliciaWhite 911. And I'd love to hear your feedback on this story. I have quite a few amazing wildlife encounters. And I love extracting life lessons from those and sharing them with others. Just look me up if you'd like to see some of those pictures. You can also go to facebook.com/YellowstonePhotos/. So again, you can go to facebook.com and search for Yellowstone Photos, all one word. Thanks for having me today.